Viking believes that a journey on the rivers of the world can be an experience designed for the thinking person. Viking, exploring the world in comfort. Learn more at viking.com.
Learn how to plan, invest, and live smarter with the Raymond James For What It's Worth podcast. Featuring insights from leading professionals, you'll get the latest in wealth management, market commentary, and engaging research. Listen today at raymondjames.com/podcast.
I'm Jace Laycobb, and you're listening to Masterpiece Studio. We'd caution listeners about spoilers in this episode of the podcast, but we're fairly confident any casual viewer of Grantchester by now is aware that village curate Leonard Finch is a partially closeted gay man. So his public admission of that fact while under police custody is remarkable and actionable.
To thine own self be true. Isn't that how it goes? The allegation made by Brian Stamford, it's true. He was not lying about seeing me in bed with another man.
For the past 6 seasons, Leonard has struggled with his sense of self, only recently fully accepting his feelings for photographer Daniel Marlowe as valid and worthy of pursuit. So his confession is both progress and a source of legal peril.
How can I stand in front of our congregation again? Walk into a post office. I ran out and I didn't defend myself.
I did. And Rini will, I'm sure.
And the Archdeacon will be happy with that, will he?
Sexual activity between two men was completely illegal in the United Kingdom until 1967, nearly a full decade away from this current season of Grantchester, making Leonard's confession to what was then a crime punishable by jail time far more than a simple coming out story.
I know Leonard is happier living his life with just a single degree more honesty. Now, if that makes me guilty too, then so be it.
We all knew of Mr. Finch's peculiarities. But there's knowing what he is, and there's allowing him to act upon it. I had hoped that you would have guided him away from such temptations.
Actor Al Weaver never imagined he'd still be playing Leonard Finch today when he first signed up for the role 7 years ago, but the seasoned village veteran has grown into the role and into himself these past 6 seasons. Weaver joins us to discuss Leonard, love, and the rest of this serialized season. We are joined this week by Grantchester star Al Weaver. Good to speak to you again.
It's very nice to speak to you again.
This season begins with a holiday as the Grantchester gang heads to the fictional Mary's Holiday Camp for a trip that becomes memorable for less than positive reasons. Before we get to that, I just want to know, what was it like filming the scenes set at Mary's, particularly during a global pandemic?
It was very nice. It was lovely. It was very cold. It's just what it was. I think what it was is that everyone was so happy to be working and out in the real world again. There's just lots of love flying around, and everyone was kind of just very joyous and happy to be around. It was really nice. It was really, really special. It was lovely.
I mean, personally, I'm amazed that the crew was able to recreate this 1950s period British holiday camp during a pandemic, a national lockdown in Britain. I mean, given the fact that you guys were under lockdown for a lot of 2020, was it surreal to see these holiday chalets after everything that had been going on?
Yeah, I mean, it was beautiful. What they did with the design was really something special. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was lovely. And it's a credit to the design team. And once again, they did an extremely good job.
Sonny, would you mind showing these fine folk to their chalets, please?
Absolutely, Mr. Eves.
Castanet class. Shut up!
I hope you're ready for a merry time.
Yep.
Doesn't sound very merry to me. Are you ready for a merry time?
Yes!
Yes!
The Grantchester team is a rather tight-knit bunch. You know, while this was definitely work, was there an atmosphere of escapism or even of sort of team bonding to shooting that first episode back?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yes. I think as soon as we all got on set, we're all just absolutely sort of elated and like I said before, just really happy just to be out of the house and be able to do our job. And the writers did a fantastic job because we're meant to start shooting at the start of June. And obviously that couldn't happen, but we started as soon as we could. And it's a weird one because you've got, obviously it's set in the summer and it's this holiday camp and, you know, but so there's lots of CGI in terms of like the trees. The trees are a different colour. So they've got to change all the leaves and they've got to make the sky blue. And it was very cold and rainy. the magic of the screen. So yes, it was. They just did a fantastic job, and we had some lovely people. I mean, obviously Brian Michael, who plays Brian Stamford, the guy who is now blackmailing me, he was lovely. Rachel Sterling came on; she was great, and we had all the stuff inside with the comedy and just a really lovely bunch of people. And everyone was just so happy to be working and allowed to work, really, you know. So it was we always have a good time, we always have a laugh, but this was even more so, I think.
You mentioned Brian Stamford. Leonard meets Mary's photographer Brian, with whom he bonds over a shared love of Russian novelists and an understanding about feeling alone, even or especially when surrounded by people. What does Leonard make of Brian initially, and how much of himself does he see in this man?
I think we saw, there was a really nice moment, a really nice scene at the end of episode two, after Willa's given the money, and they've had this sort of scene on the meadows, and it makes Leonard really quite sad, because he recognises the loneliness that Brian's going through, and the sort of pain that being a gay man in that time has on a person.
I'm sorry if you feel that I rejected you, but that's...
Rejected me? You didn't reject me. I was testing you. I could smell it on you, what you are, what you do. In love with another man. It's disgusting. It's unnatural. I'm glad you haven't got the money.
Hey!
I told you what he is, what he does.
He's my friend.
He's a liar.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
But Will.
You're just a small-minded little bully who thought, what? He was an easy target to make an extra couple of quid. Well, here's your money. I hope you're proud of yourself.
You've got it all, haven't you? Friends. Lovers. Should have known you lot had closed ranks. I won't be making that mistake again.
No, you won't.
Yeah, he definitely recognises all that in Brian. And Leonard is the ultimate, you know, empathy is his badge of honour. He's got so much of it, and he's got so much time and patience for people that... even when he's being blackmailed, he can kind of see the other side of the coin and understand where all that is coming from, all that frustration in Brian's coming from, which is, again, it's just Leonard being lovely. So it's a gift and a curse, isn't it? Because I think when you're really empathetic, you can get hurt. It's exposing. You're always putting yourself out there as well, but it's endless with him. He always sees the good in someone, or he always... wants to see the good in someone. He just has this pure love. He just wants to help people. That's all he wants to do. Yeah, and even in this moment, he's still thinking, you know, if I can just get through to him and make him understand that I am scared, that I also have the feelings that you have, that I don't have all those things. You know, I think he says, at least my family, my job, my home, you know, something about his father. You know, he's really trying to sort of reckon with him. And but obviously Brian's far too angry, and we think it's all fine. Then we think it's fine that he's got his money and he'll go away. And then obviously we see at the end of it too, he's with the Archbishop.
I mean, how much of Leonard's reaction here, that notion of sadness, of empathy, is that Brian is sort of Leonard through a glass darkly, this sort of Leonard that might have been bitter and lonely and self-loathing? Is there a moment of sort of identification with that?
I think 100%. I think that's exactly what he sees. And he says to Will, sort of, you know what, I felt what he felt, or something like that. But yeah, I mean, to sort of see the other side of the mirror and see where you could have been is, it's not a nice thing. And also seeing that there's so many men of that time who were in Brian's position, probably very, very angry and bitter and lonely and sad and just wanting what everybody else wants, but they weren't allowed to have it. And that's horrific. So, yes.
I mean, he is so sort of gently understanding in the scene when they talk about the world and feeling different. He says, being different isn't so terribly bad, better than being something you're not. Can we talk about how far Leonard has come at this point from his broken engagement to Hillary and his suicide attempt to a sort of self-aware, self-actualized Leonard Finch here?
I'm telling you, no, I was honest, there's not many arcs on television that had Leonard. It's quite remarkable, and I've been absolutely honoured to be given the opportunity to play Leonard. I really do it every year, especially after, you know, the pandemic that happened. So blessed and grateful to Daisy Poulam, the sort of head writer, and Emma Kingsman Lloyd, and Diedrich, and you know, everyone who sort of produces the show. You know, it's incredible that they've taken them on an insane journey. And it's us going, well, what can we do next? And this season's just, I mean, I watched episode 2 with my mother on, we missed Friday night, but we watched it on the Sunday. God, my God, I was cringing because I just don't like watching myself on television, but especially Leonard, because he's such a, you know, he's such a character, and I'm just trying to look at everything I'm doing, thinking, oh God, I wish I'd said more, my T's there. That was very period. And my mother's just going, oh my God, oh Leonard, oh God, Leonard, oh no, Leonard, oh God. And so the response so far has been, it's been quite an amazing response. I think people really, really feel for him. And they just keep throwing everything at him and he survives. And in terms of him, I think he's you know, we all want to be our authentic selves. And that's what we all struggle with but try. And if you try on a daily basis to be authentic and have integrity, and he, more than anyone I've ever known in real life or in characters, he lives by that. He wants to be the most truthful person. He can't help himself. And that's why he gets carried away at the camp. And he's got so much faith in people. And now he's at this place where he can see someone like Brian. Although he doesn't see that. Again, he's still Leonard. So he obviously doesn't see that Brian is a gay man until Brian obviously kisses him. And then he's like, oh, Jesus. Oh, gosh, what have I done? Did I lead him on? Oh, I didn't even see that. So that's great, because it's great for Leonard. Cause that is exactly what would he's like. You know, he just takes people, yeah, you know, as they are, and he just trusts. He's got this sort of innate ability to just, he just trusts people so much. Yeah. So I think he's at such a good place at the start of 6. I think he's the happiest, especially even Mrs. C's kind of accepted the Daniel Leonard relationship, though she doesn't want it, you know, in front of in the vicarage or really in sort of her sight. But then they're on a holiday and she, you know, she accepts that they love each other, that they're human beings, and she's got obviously that empathy for them also. Leonard's in a very good place.
So before Leonard leaves Mary's, there is not only a murder, of course, because this is Grantchester, but he's caught in bed with Daniel by Brian. When you got to this in the script the first time you were reading it, were you surprised that this was where the storyline was kicking off?
I was actually, yes, because usually what happens before, once we finish the season, I will call Daisy and Emma and we'll go for some lunch somewhere nice in East London or something like that. And we will sort of go, this is what I'd love to explore. If that fits in with your plans, can we find a medium or blah, blah, blah. And so I very much wanted him to face consequences for this relationship. I wanted his arc to be very severe, really severe. And that, you know, to show that what the world treated people like back then. But what I didn't know how they were going to do it. And so when I read it, yeah, I was like, oh God, that's racy. In bed with Daniel again. I was very surprised, but I think it was really well handled. I think they're really well written. And I think Daisy is a bit of a genius, really.
Leonard and Daniel have this sort of moment of stolen tenderness between them by the lake when Leonard wipes some ice cream off of Daniel's face. And it's that moment of tenderness that sort of seals Leonard's doom in a way, as Brian catches it in a photograph. Then he tells Will about what he saw. He develops the photos. He blackmails Leonard. And in that one moment, Leonard's sort of terror at being exposed, at being prosecuted, becomes reality. Does he see the walls closing in when he gets that letter with the Leviticus passage.
Since when did the diocese send homework?
It's addressed to me.
Which verse in Leviticus? Leonard?
18:22.
You shall not lie with a male.
As with a woman. It is an abomination.
Yeah, I mean, 100% he does. I think you kind of see it in the scene. He's just, I shouldn't have done that. Why we was careless, we was stupid. Why did I think I could act like that and not see any repercussions? Of course, we're not allowed to, you know, even though, you know, it was only a wipe of ice cream there, obviously. But yeah, I think, yeah, especially being Leonard as well, you know, a character who has the very extreme emotions, you know, who's very courageous, he's so courageous and he's so empathetic and insanely smart and well-read, and but then at the same time kind of terrible advice but great advice. And yeah, I think his fear is probably, that's probably the most scared he's ever been.
Before this next question, a brief word from our sponsors. Ocean voyages, expeditions, river journeys. Viking is dedicated to bringing travelers closer to the destination, offering a small ship experience and a shore excursion in every port. Learn more at viking.com. Coming up next on Masterpiece on PBS, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office continues Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, followed by the finale of Alice and Jack at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Episode 3 begins with Geordi and Larry questioning Leonard for the charge of gross indecency after Brian has taken his accusation to the police and to the Archdeacon. Geordi tries to be gentle and sort of help Leonard here, but Larry is not only blunt but very aggressive, questioning Leonard about both the incident at Mary's and about Daniel Marlowe. Leonard isn't under caution at this point, but he lies about whom he was in bed with. Is his motivation here at this point not to protect himself, but to protect Daniel?
This is you, correct?
So who's this fella?
Oh, I'm not really not sure.
You seem very familiar with him. Are you a homosexual, Mr. Finch?
I have nothing more to say. You told me I'm not obliged to say anything.
What about Daniel Marlowe, photographer from your village? Allegations it's him you were in bed with. So he's a pansy as well?
All right.
I have nothing more to say.
We're going to have to do this the hard way, then.
Thank you, Leonard. That's all for now.
I mean, again, that's sort of him just being, again, I guess, so courageous, I would say. And he loves Daniel, you know, he's his everything, so... Yeah, he's 100% protecting him. And Daniel makes the choice not to say anything. But that's okay. And Leonard will take the hit because he can only live one way, and that is as himself and truthfully. Him going there to make that confession, to say, I did do it. He didn't have to do that. I mean, we see during the whole thing that Geordi's trying to just give him an out. Just say no. He's giving him an out. He's giving him so many outs. And Leonard can't do it because he has to tell his truth. He has to be his truthful self. But I think it's so brave. And some people will go, a bit stupid, you could have got away with it. But he's kind of making a point to the world that he is Leonard Finch, isn't he?
At the same time, he is sort of looking at this is almost God's judgment.
Leonard.
I'm a fool.
You're no fool.
One who thought for a minute he was in paradise when he was really paving the road to hell.
Daniel said don't give them anything, and that's what you did.
Does he see what happened at Mary's as this sort of moment of happiness or weakness that did doom him in a biblical sense?
I guess so. I never thought about it like that, I don't think. I guess so. When you say it like that, yeah. And he's 100% testing God and saying, well, let's see where the axe will fall. It's a very strange thing he does. He's kind of pushing for it, isn't he? Because he knows the letter of the law and what he's admitting to. But I guess because of the person he is, again, maybe naively he thinks that maybe he'll, because he's a priest, that he does good things for people, that maybe they'll kind of be okay, you know, not give him a heavy punishment. But yeah, I think you're right, you know. I think you are right there.
Until now, Leonard and Mrs. C have kept their distance since his interview, but he overhears her entire very heated exchange with Will, and they sort of smash into each other in the hallway at the vicarage. There's an awkwardness about how each of them will react, but all she can say to Leonard is, "Stupid boy." How devastated is Leonard in this moment with that reaction to this?
I think it's, again, it's one of those absolutely crushing moments for him, that he's had all this faith instilled in him from people, and this love that he's always searched for. He feels like he's betrayed that in a way, and he's really messed that up, and that hurts him enormously, especially when it comes from Mrs. Chapman. And yet he still, even through all that, he still has to stick to his principles and say that what happened was true, and face the consequences of that, even though people are disappointed. But yeah, I think it's heartbreaking for him.
Will uses the hustings to give an impassioned speech, but local political Morris sort of tells everyone that Leonard has been accused of gross indecency. Leonard flees in horror. Why does Leonard run there? Why doesn't he try to defend himself in that moment?
I think it's one of those situations, isn't it? It's just sheer blind panic. I've just not knowing. It's just a physical reaction of just flee. You know, I don't think he's thinking about it too much. He's in so much shock. But he's just scared, isn't he? He's terrified. You know, he's terrified at the best of times. I think that's just, it's a physical reaction. But it's really nice writing, because it allowed, rather than him standing there and giving a speech, it allows him to then go, oh my God, this the seriousness of what I've done. Even if I didn't get arrested, or they don't find me, or whatever the punishment may be, I still have to face everybody in that village, and they're gonna be talking and whispering and judging and saying what a horrible person I am, or things like that. So I mean, it's awful. You know, we're all, there's that biggest fear of what others think, isn't it? If we could all just, me as a human being, I think, if I could, the fear of what others think is literally like plagues my mind. I know it shouldn't, because you shouldn't care, but you do. And it's a lifetime's work to not think that, but we all have it. And so, Jesus, yeah, he's in a horrific position. God, it's so horrific, this storyline.
You mentioned earlier that, you know, these people are Leonard's family. The situation not only poses a threat to Leonard, but also to Will at this point. Leonard doesn't want his mistakes to cost Will his vocation, but Will says that he had to say something. And I love Leonard's response to that, which is, "You are a wonderful idiot sometimes." Is this the moment where Leonard does really see Will as his friend, as his brother in that moment?
Yeah, I think, 100%. I mean, there's always those moments, aren't there, when you see a friend or someone do something that kind of defies what you think they were capable of. And when he says what he says, then it's like, yes, he is my brother. I mean, I think also sort of building on that sort of relationship from last year, we kind of needed that to sort of, and he pays the ransom as well. Which is again a shock. So even though all his world is falling apart, they've cleverly managed to sort of solidify this kind of brotherhood between these two characters, which is really lovely to see. And I think it's really nice for Tom's character, for Will, to sort of have those sides to him, and the audience grows with him as well to love him more, because again, he's very much like Leonard. They're just like, this is who I am, and this is what I think, and I think that's sort of the connection. They recognize that in each other, and the sort of the bad things that can happen by doing that, but at least you are honest, at least you're authentic, at least you are true, and that's kind of all you can be, isn't it? You know,
in an episode full of curveballs, there is another one. Mrs. C begs Will to lie to save Leonard.
Apologies. After you.
It's quite all right. I'll just pop in out for a minute. Good day?
Fine. Well, now, had better. I'm sorry I called you up. I'm sorry for what I said.
Lie to them.
What?
Please. I can't lose my boy.
It's a surprising moment that Leonard overhears rather than is privy to directly. Is this the moment, Mrs. C urging Will of all people to lie to the police, that ultimately compels Leonard to confess?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, even he's aware of what could happen to have someone else get in trouble or go against their principles, especially a religious person who's meant to be honest and truthful. And to hear that he will have to do that, yeah, that's the last straw then, and that's when he goes in and confesses. I think maybe he would have done anyway. I think he probably would have done anyway. Maybe he wouldn't have. I don't know. But it's great writing that's sort of what launches him off the diving board into this sort of epic kind of journey that's to come. Yeah, because you don't want your family and friends to suffer, do you, because of your behaviour. You've got to take responsibility and you've got to own up to it, which ultimately he does.
Leonard does confess to being guilty of the crime. He lies about Daniel. He saves Daniel from prosecution. The episode ends with a shot of Leonard alone in the cells. For a character who has openly discussed his feelings of loneliness and isolation, this is a hell of an image to end an episode on. What is going through Leonard's mind here in this moment of extreme isolation?
I would say that I think he's very... It's that weird one, isn't it? He's proud of... I think he'd be proud that he stood by his beliefs and he's done the right thing for himself, but obviously he's going to be terrified and he will face those consequences. I don't think what happens he thinks is going to happen at all. So I think just that kind of relief. I think, you know what it is, actually? It is that relief of being, you know, true to yourself. And there is a sense of relief there. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I'm very scared, but it's that sort of, you know, if someone coming out to their parents and saying, you know, I'm gay, and then it's that the fear of what will they react? How will they react? Will they look at me different? And when they go, we love you, son, it's all right. It's that relief that you've been your authentic self. I keep saying authentic because I think it's so true with him. He's such a good character to, he's very, very, he's very inspiring, Leonard. He is, he's inspired me. He's such a gift.
Has he changed you? Has playing him changed you?
Yeah, I think it has in many ways. And I think as an artist, I think I've grown, and thanks to the writers who've given me stuff to do that has allowed me to grow. And as a human, I'm much more, I mean, maybe because I'm older as well. We've been doing it 7 years now, but because, yeah, I'm much more relaxed. I'm much more empathetic towards people. I try and think of others more. When you, as an actor, I think you can get caught being thinking of yourself a lot. And it's not a great quality, but sometimes it's necessary. But I think just all his qualities of, they rub off on you, because it's hard not to turn a blind eye when you see someone doing such noble, brave things, and you go, wow, can I take those lessons and add them into my own life? Can I be more brave? Can I be more empathetic? Can I listen to others better? Can I not think, oh, I've got to be somewhere? Can I really sort of be there? Being an active listener. I've been practicing active listening, Jace. I realized at one point, I was like, I think I listened, but then I stopped listening. I mean, I'm sure lots of people do it. So active listening, it's very tricky.
I mean, the world would be a better place if we all asked ourselves, what would Leonard Finch do? He does come from such a place of empathy and kindness. that I do think we need more Leonard Finches in the world, and it would be a better place if we had them. Grantchester is 8 episodes this season. The unifying thread that runs through all 8 is Leonard's storyline. You know, what does it mean to you to be able to tell this story across 8 episodes and have the focus of this arc be placed on Leonard Finch?
It's lovely. It's an honor, really. They've been so kind. And also because we got given the 8 episodes, so because we've talked about these kind of storylines before, but in 6 episodes, it's very difficult to do because you need the space. You've got to let it breathe. You've got to have this sort of slow progression so that the audience can be drawn in and then really explore those things. So because we got given the 8 episodes, that finally was the sort of trigger to go, right, we can do something now. It's absolutely, it was brilliant. And also, you know, just at the back of, coming out of COVID as well, to sort of really get stuck into these storylines was great. We got to shoot away. We got to shoot down near Glastonbury for a week, which was brilliant. It was so nice. And for me as an actor, I feel very, very grateful. And hopefully I tried to be as truthful with Leonard as possible. And hopefully the audience will sort of really go through something with him this year. And hopefully it's good drama, you know.
One of the joys of watching sort of a long-running, ongoing series is seeing just how far the characters develop over time. Looking at sort of Leonard's first appearance in episode, I think it's the second episode of Grantchester series 1, it is amazing to me that over 6 series, we get a Leonard who moves from that first appearance to a Leonard in series 6 who walks into a police station and confesses. That is an amazing arc to play over 6 series for any series, but it just speaks to the beauty and amazing quality of this show that it would be possible to get that character to this point. And I think that that's just amazing. Few shows, I think, would be brave enough to pull it off this far in the run, but the fact that Grantchester does and does so beautifully, I think, is testament to the writing and to the actors. I don't even really have a question there. It's just I am somewhat in awe that Grantchester pulls this off.
I appreciate that you appreciate that. We're very proud of it. I'm very, very proud of this show. I'm very proud of Leonard. I'm very proud to work with all the actors I've worked with in this show and all the crew that we've had to work with. It really is. There was a quote that we called it a happy place, and it really is. We're filming season 7 at the minute, and we got lucky. We got back to back, so we had finished season 6, and then the one that's showing now, and then we had 3 months off, and we're doing 7. I never thought in a million years I'd have done 7 years of this, but the reason I have is because the people and the stories, and that the people who make this show, they care about this show, and they care about these characters, and they care about the audience. They care about making good entertainment. And the fact that they've been able to do it within the constraints of, we've got to find a murderer a week and things like that. It's incredible what they've done. And yeah, it's an absolute blessing. So I appreciate that you appreciate that. Thank you, Jace.
My pleasure. You turned 40 earlier this year.
Shut
welcome
up.
To the
what?
Well, you're I'm part of that club.
I know, I'm
too.
Good with it. I'm good with it. I actually love it. I love being 40. It's great.
I would say welcome to the 40 plus club. It's great. It's great here. You now said though that you feel like an elder statesman on the set of Grantchester. What did you mean by that?
I think what's nice is as you get older, you get more chilled out, I think. And we had like young people coming through. There's lots of young actors. Quite newbies who come on this show, and it's a really good sort of learning curve for them. And so I love being there to help them. We're always prepared on this job. There's no half ass in it. We all know our lines. We all care about what we're doing. So it means when we're there, we can help other people if they need it. And for an example, we were shooting some stuff for 6, and there was a couple of young actors there, and it was all moving quite fast. And if you're a young actor, you're a guest, you don't really know anyone, blah, blah, blah. you kind of need someone to speak up for you. So if it's a case of like, do you feel like you got that? Like, I'll ask the director and we can go again. I'll say I made a mistake. Well, you know, those sorts of things that you can do to make it easier for other people, you know? And that's the Leonard effect. Maybe that's what he's done to me. And you know, when my hair's slapped down in a side parting and I've got things, I don't know, but I like to think it's been, yeah, sort of a part of life. But yeah, that's what I like about it. I like working with the younger actors and helping those and making them feel better. Yeah, I mean, I am an elder statesman. It's, you know, 40, 41 in January. Bloody hell. It's gone so quick. It's these 2 years that we've lost.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just crazy. I started Grantchester when I was 33, which is mental. I can't believe it. I never thought I'd be doing it at 40. I thought we all thought we had about 3 seasons, but we just, you know, it's good writing, and it's one of those things, Jace, where, like, you don't get these jobs a lot. And when we got to about season 4, when James was leaving, I was still thinking that you don't get these jobs a lot. You don't ever, and might never get it again. So appreciate it while you have it. And
hold on to that happy place.
I'll try to, yeah.
Yeah. Al Weaver, thank you very much.
Oh, bless you, man. Thank you very much. That was lovely.
We head to a different murder mystery case in our next podcast, and to modern-day Budapest, where freelance detective Julien Baptiste gets tangled up in a missing persons case involving the stern UK ambassador to Hungary, Emma Chambers.
My son is dead. And you want to sit around here telling me that it's some grand far-right conspiracy. I'm done. I have one son left. Fight.
The incomparable Fiona Shaw joins us October 31st. Masterpiece Studio is hosted by me, Jace Lacob, and produced by Nick Anderson. Elishaba Etoup is our editor. The executive producer of Masterpiece is Suzanne Simpson. Sponsors for Masterpiece on PBS are Viking Cruises, Raymond James, and the Masterpiece Trust.